This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for giving me a couple of minutes here at the top before we get into some mid-season NFL thoughts on the sponsors who pay for this podcast so you don't have to pay for it. Let me first talk about Heads and Tails, my newest Todd Wright tour partner. Heads and Tails will be helping me put a lot of prizes slash gifts under our Charlie Brown Christmas tree at the upcoming sold-out Todd Wright Tour 53 at West Chase Golf Club on December 13th. They are a boutique sports apparel and gift shop on West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. The minute you walk in the store, you will be impressed. It is neat, tidy, well-organized, lots of licensed apparel, creative items if you're looking for a gift for someone who is a fan of these six teams: Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Gators, Noles, USF Bulls. That's it. That's the six that they carry. And if you cannot make it in to their store on West Kennedy, their online site is very well done and easy to navigate. TheHeadsAndTails.com. So I thank Heads and Tails for what they are doing for Todd Wright Tour 53. It was great to have them at Todd Wright Tour 52 for the first time. And I encourage you to shop for Bucks, Rays, Lightning, Gators, Noles, USF Bulls at TheHeadsAndTails.com if you can't stop by their store on West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Very simple message here. Brandon Legal Group hopes you are never in need of legal assistance. If you are, they would just ask to call them or click on the box for a free consult on their website, brandonlegalgroup.com. If you call them, you can request the free consult as well. It's very simple. Find out what full service means, what it means for you when you are in need of legal assistance. Brandon Legal Group, 813-902-3576, or visit them online for that free consult at brandonlegalgroup.com. Email for me, write.todd@yahoo.com. We are through 9 weeks of the 18-week NFL regular season. So we have officially passed the midseason point. Over half the teams as of week 9 have had their bye. So this is in all ways, and I always try to be authentic when it comes to this stuff because I'm so wired with numbers. This, in more ways than any, is as mid-season gets for the National Football League. Granted, some teams have played more games than others, but more teams have had a bye than other teams have not had a bye. So we're looking at exactly 9 weeks done, 9 weeks to go. By the way, I took a peek. You know how that week 18 is all division games. I don't know if I love that, by the way. I don't know if I love it as much as some others seem to love it. But this year, there are six games that right now look like they might be significant for one or both teams. Here are the six: Indy at Houston, Chargers at Broncos, Packers at Vikings, Ravens at Steelers, Seahawks at Niners, Lions at Bears. All week 18 games. Take your pick right now. Right now. What game does NBC take? They can have any game they want. Any game they want for the Sunday night game. And they don't have to announce it until the week 17 results are basically in. What's the week 18 game? I think the dark horse here is Seattle at San Francisco. But then you're implying what's going on with the Rams. So I think it's going to be Chargers at Broncos or Ravens at Steelers is the week 18 Sunday night game. Which brings us to where we at midseason. Work with me here as I work my way through. We'll start with the NFC, because normally I start with the AFC, and I just wanted to switch it up today. With where we are in the standings, the goal is figure out who's winning divisions, who's making the playoffs. That's all that matters here. And sure, just because you make your playoffs doesn't mean you're a Super Bowl team. It doesn't. I've said this for years. There are different tiers to NFL teams. Are you a Super Bowl contender? Are you a playoff contender? Are you a 500 team? Are you a bad team? To me, those are the four. And if you want to split things up a little bit more, are you a Super Bowl team? Are you a playoff team? Are you a team that might make the playoffs? Are you a team that might get to 500? Are you a bad team? That adds another tier. Just because you're a playoff team doesn't mean you're a Super Bowl team. Not when seven teams per conference make the playoffs. More often than not, one or more of those seven teams does not have what it takes to get to the Super Bowl. They got to the playoffs. Insert your own Jim Mora there. He signed my Philadelphia/Baltimore Stars USFL helmet personally recently. Wrote playoffs on it, also inscribed to Ivo and Todd, because I went to USFL games with my grandfather back in the mid-80s at Tampa Stadium. All right, so on to the standings. Here's how I see it. NFC, if you had any doubts that the Eagles were going to win the division, they should have gone away with the two primetime games in week 9. First, Washington looks awful at home in their Redskins throwbacks, which look great, and NBC, I don't think, would touch it and talk about it. Expect to see that uniform more going forward. They just got to figure out what to do with the logo on the side of the helmet, whether they stay with the W or tweak it to look like it used to look. And then they lose Lattimore, McCaffrey, and Daniels. That's it. And they're 3-6. They lost that game. Going into the game, they're 3-5. So they're 3-6 with no time frame on when Jaden Daniels returns. Then the Cowboys on Monday night at home don't put up big numbers offensively. Lose to Arizona, a 2-win team on a big losing streak. And even with Dallas making trades, no. Not going to catch Philly. Not. Not going to win games head-to-head enough to catch the Eagles. So it is the Eagles in the NFC East. And I heard today on VSiN on Gil Alexander's show at One Sports Book, Cowboys plus 850 to make the playoffs. Those are really long odds. So you're likely going to get just Philadelphia as your team from the NFC East. Let me get rid of this pop-up here. I know you didn't hear that, but I did. In the NFC North, all four teams are 500 or better. But I draw an obvious line between the Packers and Lions and the Bears and the Vikings. There are too many questions I have about the Vikings and the Bears to prevent me from putting them in serious playoff conversation. Are they a potential playoff team? Yes. Are they a playoff team? I don't think so. Packers have some bad games. They've lost, what, to the Browns this year, and they've lost to Carolina this year. And then they go out and pound the Lions beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, they're still a very young team with some things that just aren't consistent yet. Not sure if they get there this year. But is that a playoff team? I think so. Are they better than the Lions? They have been on the field once this year. Going to get another opportunity later in the year. I think the game is in Detroit. I still think the Lions missed their best opportunities the last 2 years. The Lions still lose games the same way they lost those playoff games. I mean, they've already lost three this year. They lost one meaningful regular season game all of last year without their top two coordinators. But I do think it's still Green Bay as the team to beat, but Detroit may get in as a wild card as they are slotted now. NFC South said all along, the Bucs just continue this streak of winning that division, have not taken Raheem seriously and have no reason to, and the quarterback play has been even worse than expected. Defense, a little better than expected. But just dumb things seem to happen to cost the Falcons games. And to me, that's on the head coach and the way the culture of that organization. See, Dolphins fans, we can use it about another team. Do I put Carolina in this conversation? They will play the Bucs twice in like the last 4 or 5 weeks. I can't do it yet. I can't get there because offensively, I still don't buy into a Bryce Young-led offense without any established weapons in the passing game, and that Rico Dowdle can continue to put up these enormous numbers in the games where Dave Canales says, we're just going to feed you and nobody else. At some point, I think that ends. While for Dowdle, it's already made him a lot of money on an offseason contract. So it's just Tampa Bay to me. Prove me wrong, Carolina, and we're going to lump you in with someone else appropriately a little bit later. And in the NFC West, three teams are sitting there with 6 wins. Seahawks and Rams have 6 wins in 8 games. Niners have 6 wins in 9 games. Arizona's not in this. Even with Jacoby Brissett going forward, actually throwing to Marvin Harrison and throwing to Trey McBride to try to get Trey in the end zone. I don't believe in the Cardinals. I've always liked Jacoby Brissett. I like him more as the backup quarterback to do what he's doing. If you need someone to take over for the rest of the year, Brissett to me is everything you know, the Dolphins need in a backup quarterback of Tua. Everything the Bengals need in a backup quarterback of Joe Burrow. If you're worried your starter is going to go down and wreck your season, Jacoby Brissett's your kind of quarterback, backup quarterback, because he can come in and do some things. He doesn't look like he's just a guy to sit in a film room or run the second team. But I also don't think you plan an entire offseason around him being your number one. He's perfect for the Progressive commercials as the backup quarterback. The Seahawks and Rams play more defense than the Niners. The Niners kind of are just piecing this offensively together with no established threats in the passing game. Kittle's done nothing all year. I know he's missed half the year with an injury, but he's really had one good game through 9 weeks, even in the games he's played. Brock Purdy, who knows? Mac Jones, I've always thought Mac's pretty good. Mac just got in trouble because he spoke his mind under Bill Belichick, and Bill didn't like that. Bill didn't like when Brady did that. And Mac Jones eventually moved out of New England because of that. Bill didn't want to deal with it. Mac was good in Jacksonville last year. Those were the Brian Thomas Jr. numbers that aren't there this year in Jacksonville. We'll get to the Jags. I thought coming into the year, Seattle was good. I just didn't know if they'd get there this year. Through half the season, they look like they could get there. Are they as good as the team that just pounded Washington on Sunday night? No, they're not that good. But remember that Week 16 game, Seattle at San Francisco. Sam Darnold, remember at the end of last year with the Vikings when it really mattered? It fell apart. I don't like how Seattle seemingly doesn't have a running game. What is going on there? It is literally all Jackson Smith and Jigba. Walker's a disappointment. Charbonnet's a disappointment. Is it because of the offensive line? If you're that reliant on one guy in Jackson Smith and Jigba to be your offense, and when teams overcommit to him, that opens up things for others. And they just brought in Rashid Shaheed. I don't know how much that helps. But I don't think they're there yet. I still think this is the Rams division. It's impressive how the Niners have hung in there, and impressive where the Seahawks are. So where are we with the playoff teams? Here are your seven playoff teams, in my opinion, in no particular order. Eagles, Packers, Lions, Bucks, Seahawks, Rams, 49ers. Because if the Seahawks or Niners don't get there, that means someone like the Bears, the Vikings, or Carolina does get there. And I don't have enough to go on to feel that strongly about Chicago, Minnesota, or Carolina instead of Seattle and the Niners. I believe very strongly in the Eagles, Packers, Lions, and Bucks and Rams getting to the playoffs. Over in the AFC, have said it before with the Patriots on this 6-game win streak. I'm sorry, I'm just not impressed. You are what your record says you are. Yes, you are. You're playing some defense. It's not great. Why does Drake London catch 3 touchdowns in a game where you have Christian Gonzalez? Because half the time Gonzalez wasn't covering Drake London. There was one touchdown where Gonzalez left the game after a jump ball because he hit his head. He was out of the game. But a significant amount of the damage Drake London did, there was a 40-yard jump ball that London did get over Gonzalez. But most of the damage was not against Gonzalez. What are you doing? Why is Gonzalez not covering Drake London? Is that not your defense? Is that a flaw? I am not of the camp that I'm still in the middle on Drake May. The middle being you have the group that think, yeah, that's a franchise quarterback. He's already proven that. Then there could be a camp, you're not hearing from them right now, say, well, that didn't work out. Another North Carolina quarterback going the way of Sam Howell. I never felt that way about Drake May. I wanted to see more. I still want to see more. I do. What he's doing, especially considering the Patriots don't have a go-to running back, this has been driving fantasy owners crazy. With who gets the ball in New England, to borrow the Jay Croucher term from the Peacock fantasy football show. The Patriots offense is very egalitarian. There's a lot of sharing going on between running backs, wideouts, an occasional Hunter Henry appearance. I think the Patriots have won games against teams of a similar skill level, to their credit, teams they could beat and they did beat, independent of that win at Buffalo against the Bills. That was impressive. But they're going to have to play the Bills one more time. Granted, that game's in New England. Numbers are eerily similar, by the way, even though the Patriots have played one more game than Buffalo. Patriots 7-2, have scored 237 points, have given up 169. Bills are 6-2, have scored 235 points, given up 167. Yes, the Patriots could be a playoff team. Going to bring up a point about 7-2 in a moment here. In the AFC North, and Dolphins and Jets obviously are not in this conversation, not going to waste your time with that. AFC North, Steelers 5-3, Ravens 3-5, that's really all we're talking about here. We've known for a couple of weeks now, the Ravens could still win this division. And if you weren't aware, you got to be aware now. And they still have two games head-to-head, including a Week 18 game in Pittsburgh. Neither Baltimore or Pittsburgh, the first half of the season, has been playing average defense. But Pittsburgh just forced 5 Daniel Jones turnovers, and the Ravens may be figuring some things out. In the AFC South, the Colts are 7-2, just like the Patriots are 7-2. Then the Jags are 5-3. My concern with the Jags is remember they were 4-1. So they're 1-3 in the last month, and there was a bye in there too. That's who I think they are. By the end of the year, I don't think it comes down to a Week 18 game for the Jaguars to get in the playoffs, that they have any chance. Do they have really any standout players on the offensive side of the ball? ETN stood out the first month, not since. Hunter's on IR. Brian Thomas Jr. is not producing. Nothing stands out about Trevor Lawrence's play. I will say Trevor Lawrence's negative plays are down, which is good. Lawrence, for the last couple years, has had more sacks, fumbles, or picks, you know, those type plays, than anybody. Those seem to have been reduced. You know, he falls down in the Chiefs game, gets up, and runs in for the game-winning score. That's kind of Trevor Lawrence for you. He's not going to give up, but it isn't going to be pretty. Defensively, the Jags, that's their strength. But they've had some injuries over there, too. It's a top 10 defense right now. But how far does that get you if you're relying on your kicker, you know, to make 68 yarders? Made a 70 yarder in preseason. The Jags just went to overtime and had to defend a 2-point conversion to avoid a tie or a loss to the Raiders, who have what, won two games all year, one of them, by the way, against the Patriots. So I'm not buying the Jaguars. I'll go ahead and do this right now. You know, the Jags and the Panthers both came into the league at the same time. And in their second years, they were both in their conference championship games. We were one championship Sunday away in the mid-90s from two expansion teams playing in a Super Bowl. It was that close. It could have been Jaguars-Panthers, both in their second year. It didn't happen. The Panthers have been to the Super Bowl since twice, both lost. Jags have never been there. The Texans' defense is phenomenal. Offensively, it's messy. And it got messier by C.J. Stroud being knocked out of the Week 9 game. He's not going to play in the Week 10 game. And I don't think Davis Mills is Jacoby Brissett. Nico Collins hasn't had a good year. No running back stands out. Joe Mixon meant so much to this offense last year in what was perceived as a step back for Stroud and got the offensive coordinator fired. Joe Mixon's not here. Had the Texans been able to pull off that win against the Broncos, you'd probably look at this a lot differently. But the Colts even lose, and the Texans gain no ground. They're 3.5 games back. They do get them head-to-head coming up, what, twice, right? Including Week 18. I think it would take a Taylor injury, a Daniel Jones injury, one or both. Daniel Jones having more games like he had against the Steelers, the 5 turnover game, where they still hung in there and were still competitive in the game and into the fourth quarter. What, it was a 2-possession game with 7 minutes left? I stopped watching at that point, was paying attention to something else. Texans in 8 games have only given up 121 points. Do the math on that. That's how good that defense is. That's how bad this offense is, and no C.J. Stroud. The Texans are going to need to run off a string of victories sooner rather than later. They're running out of time. Titans not worth talking about. And in the AFC West, talked about this pre-flop. There you go, Gil. How this, for the first time in the Mahomes-Reed era, the Chiefs were vulnerable. I said that to you. And here they are at full strength offensively with Rashid Rice back, with Xavier Worthy now well removed from running into Kelsey. Kelsey's been productive. Defense is playing well. It's a top 10 defense. Maybe not a top 5 defense, but it's a top 10 defense. And where are the Chiefs? They're 5-4, just a game over 500. The point differential's insane. For a team one game over 500, the Chiefs have scored 76 more points than they've given up. They're winning big games by large margins. They're no longer winning the close games. They're losing those. These were the ones they won not only last year, but prior to that. And my theory is, the more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. The more close games you win, the more close games you're going to win. Chargers 6-3, Broncos 7-2. Edge Broncos defensively over the Chargers. Chargers are a good defense. They're not great. Expected better. Herbert's throwing the ball all over the place. Chargers down to their third running back, but they're still relevant. Harbaugh knows how to win. I think the Broncos just have more going for them. Chargers go to Denver week 18. I felt really good about Denver coming into the season. Stop with the Cincinnati always gets off to a slow start. Next year, think about Denver. 0-2 to start last year. What, 1-2 to start this year? And it's like, what's wrong with the Broncos? And there they are at 7-2. Also, let's remind everyone, last year at this point, the Steelers were 7-2. With Russell Wilson, right, taking over for Justin Fields, who started, what, the first 4 or 5 games while Russell got healthy? Maybe more. And then the bottom fell out for the Steelers. They limp into the playoffs and really were no factor. They were not competitive in their first-round playoff game, I believe, against the Ravens. So one of these 7-2 teams, thinking the Patriots or the Colts, are going to do exactly what the Steelers did. They're going to lose more than they win the rest of the way. And they're going to go into the first round of the playoffs, and they're not going to have it because they're not going to go in hot. They're not going to be the same team they were in September and October. So in the AFC, if New England and Buffalo are getting in, I still think Buffalo will win that division. But acknowledging the Patriots may be a playoff team. Then in the AFC North, it's Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Come back to that. AFC South, Right now, it's just Indy. I feel the same way about the Jags at five wins as I do about Carolina at five wins. It just doesn't, it doesn't look good enough to me. I know you've won five games, but I don't think you'll win five more. And that would include winning a playoff game. I don't think you will. You don't look like a playoff team. There isn't obvious momentum here. Do you have big wins? Yes, Jags beating the Chiefs in primetime, big win. Carolina going to Green Bay and winning. Yes. The previous week, Buffalo destroyed Carolina. I know Andy Dalton was quarterback, but Carolina had nothing for defensively for the Bills. And then in the AFC West, I've joked for a while, watch Kansas City get in as the 7 seed. Right now, that's about right where I know they technically right now they'd be outside the playoffs, but they're right there for the 7 seed. So if 3 teams get in from the AFC West and 2 teams get in from the AFC East or AFC North, so 5 in, New England, Buffalo, Denver, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. That means just the division winner from the AFC North and South gets in. So that's either Steelers, Ravens, or that's Colts, Texans. Texans are running out of time. So the Colts are in a good position there. Feels like the Ravens will still get there. And we'll go into another offseason of Pittsburgh fans complaining that Mike Tomlin went 9-8 with no, but wasn't a Super Bowl contender. That's how it looks to me at midseason. How does it look to you? Oh, and who are the actual Super Bowl teams? If Kansas City isn't going to go, they could still make a run in the playoffs. You think Kansas City as the 7 seed wouldn't be the worst nightmare for, say, imagine Buffalo gets the 2 seed and hosts Kansas City in the first round. Nightmare for the Bills. Or you're the Colts and you do finish the job, but you don't get the 1 seed. You're the 2 seed and your reward is Kansas City coming into the dome. You got to take out Patrick Mahomes. Or you're the Ravens and you get the 2 seed and you're home to the Chiefs, and just like the AFC title game 2 years ago, Lamar flops again in the postseason and the Chiefs advance as a 7. Could happen. Teams that could actually get to the Super Bowl, in my opinion, yes, Kansas City. Yes, Denver. I want to put Buffalo there, but if they got to play the Chiefs, they're not going to do it. Why is Sean McDermott there? You don't coach offense, and that's the strength of your team with Josh Allen and James Cook and a good offensive line. And defensively, you're bad and getting worse based on your injuries. And you've gotten worse in recent years. So what are you actually doing? Kind of the same question I ask about Mario Cristobal at Miami. I can't get there with Buffalo. I think there may be only 2 real Super Bowl teams in the AFC. And they're both in the West. Broncos and Chiefs. In the NFC, yeah, it's still Philly. They know how to get there. They've been there 2 of the last 3 years. No, it's not Detroit. It's not Tampa Bay. Yeah, I think it could be the Rams. They had a real chance last year. And can Green Bay get there? Maybe. They get hot at the right time. That's where I think your Super Bowl contenders are. That's your handful. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Heads and Tails. Visit theheadsandtails.com. And Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Visit brandonlegalgroup.com anytime for a free consult.